Well, this morning I had a word in my heart that I wanted to bring, and my wife was preaching to us in our week of prayer. She was just praying, but she got in pretty emphatic. There was some stirring up in her out of Ezekiel 37, and a word just dropped in my heart as she was praying for our church to speak to you out of Ezekiel chapter 37, and the word is simply this: can God get a hold of you? Can God get a hold of you? Not just the church, but you and the church. Can God get a hold of you? Ezekiel 37, the scripture will come up for you here. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord, you know.'" There had been a situation in life where God's people were strewn, as it were, spiritually in this valley where they were dry, they were disconnected, they were bones that were just no longer having the right purpose in their lives. And, you know, we've got a world around us today. It's like a valley of dry bones, that they aren't following their purpose, they're not connected, there's not life in them. And God's looking for people that will rise up and God can use to bring a message. That God's looking for people that will become prophetic in their words, prophetic in their spirit, prophetic in their worship, that God will put something in them and they can carry a message into this valley of dry bones. And there are churches that are valleys of dry bones, not this church, but there are churches where there's a collection of bones that are coming in, and it's like instead of being fully alive, it's dead. There's nothing going on. And I believe God wants you and I to be people that carry a message of God that we can prophesy, we can speak into them, and they can stand up and to become a mighty army. We become those that can prophesy to the winds. If you read Ezekiel 37, God tells Ezekiel, "I want you to prophesy to the winds." You get a hold of the Spirit of God and authority, and you prophesy God's breath on them. And I believe God is looking for a people that can shift out of a consumer mindset where it's all about me into a contributor mindset where we say, "God, use me. How can I bring your word into somebody else's life?" And I believe, I know for our church, but I believe the churches in Edmonton all around, there's a stirring up that says, "God, we don't want to just build us. It's not about our comfort. It's not about what we get out of this anymore. God, it's what can you use me to do and influence lives?" There are people that are literally going to hell in a handbasket. There are those whose lives are just situated in the dryness of life. And God's looking for people. God's looking for men and women, you and I, that we will step up and say, "God, get a hold of me. Use me to be the messenger. Use me to be the conduit. Use me to be the vessel where your spirit can be poured out and a mighty army can rise up." And God's using Ezekiel to be a voice. I believe and I thank God that we are no longer just an echo of past generations. There's a fresh voice coming in the house. There's a fresh voice in the generation coming up that we're not just trying to resonate with what was said in years gone by, but there's a fresh voice that's calling people into deep worship, calling people into deep prayer, into intercession, into the Word of God, that we're not just doing business as usual anymore. There's a stirring up in the generation today, I believe, that is calling out and saying, "God, there's got to be more. God, there's got to be more than just showing up at church and going home and doing this week after week after week in a sense of duty." There's a crying out in the generation that says, "Give me a cause. Give me a reason. Give me something to live for." And when somebody preaches it and the revelation happens, people get excited and they go, "I'm in. I'm all in. What do I need to do to be a part of what God's doing in the earth?" And I want to encourage this church, keep doing it. Keep pressing in. Keep getting a hold of the voice of God for you and for this church. God is looking for people that just don't sit in their chairs, that just don't watch anymore, that they get up and they say, "How can I be like an Ezekiel where I can carry a voice?" And we make a difference in people's lives. I believe there are just simple four keys that I want to leave with you. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's short. Four simple keys of what it takes to be a generation where God can use you like Ezekiel to make a difference. Now, you might not change the course of history, but you can change the course of somebody's history. You can change the course of this church's history. You can change the course of your history where something can be written down, as it were, in the annals of eternity, where you made a difference because you carried a voice. Because you were willing to say, "I step up and I'll be used of God." The first key is simply this: the Lord took hold of me, Ezekiel said. The Lord got a hold of me. Too often we're waiting for God to get a hold of us when God says, get over here. Get over into my presence where I can get a hold of you. Get yourself surrendered to me so I can grip and grab hold of you. You know, Paul in Galatians, he talks to the church and he says, you know, how God delivered us from this present age. That word delivered literally means to grip, to grab, to pull up and pluck by the hair. I had a son one time, they went fishing, or he tried. And I said to my wife, we need to pack extra clothes just because. The anointing was on me. I just knew. So we get on the dock, and my son goes to go fishing, and he's got his little plastic reel, and he throws it in. And as he throws it in, he goes with it. I just reached down, and before he even got to the bottom, my arm went in, plucked him by the back of the neck, and just hoisted him back up onto the dock. And my wife is, yep, and there we go. That was the one son that always does those kind of things. But it's like God got a hold of us in salvation. He gripped us, grabbed us, pulled us out of our sin, our miry clay, all the brokenness of our life. But then we go, well, that was nice. Thanks, God, you can let go now. God says, who said I want to let go? I want to get a hold of you because I want to do something in you. I just didn't want to save you from something. You've heard this before. I want to save you for something. God wants to get a hold of us because he doesn't want to leave us where we're at, but he doesn't want to all leave us there. He wants to take us somewhere. He wants to get us into the call of God. He wants to get us into following the anointing of the Lord. And I believe in the natural, there are some women that are trying to get a hold of you young guys. And I believe that there are some guys trying to get a hold of some women. But let me tell you something. If it isn't God using them to get a hold of you, you don't want them. Because if God isn't in it, they're going to get you into more trouble than you ever realized. It's got to be God who is making the plan. But I believe there's also sometimes there's businesses that want to get a hold of us. There are literally headhunters, bad metaphor, but there were headhunters that want to get a hold of us and get us out of where God's called us into something because they're luring us maybe with money and prestige and fame and all these other things. And we've got to be able to say, no, God got a hold of me here for this reason. I believe sometimes the demonic forces want to get a hold of us. They want to get a hold of us with the pleasures and the areas of the lusts and the thoughts and the areas of life where they bring us in. They say, hey, take this because you'll be better off. And you got to know, no, God did not call me to that. There are people trying to get a hold of us that are not for us. Many times in the natural, we go, oh, it's so great. So-and-so phoned me and so-and-so called on me and I got letters for this. People want me. Yeah, the devil wants you. There's a lot of people that want you. But it might not be God. It might not be the kingdom of God. Where God puts you in a place and a position for a reason. And we need to be those that say, God, you got a hold of me. It's what I want to do is what you want in my life. There are con men. I don't know if you've gotten any of these emails. These emails that want my money because they're willing to give me so much more in return. If I just give them a little bit, they'll give me so much more. And I go, devil, you're in my emails. Get out of there. Because of their lies, they're baiting us to try to get in. It's like, no, I need God to get a hold of me. I need God to get my money. I need God to get my family. I need God to get my kids. I don't need to be worrying about what the world wants out of us. I need to hear what God wants out of me. God got a hold of him. You know, Peter tells us that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking those that he can devour. If you don't know this yet, you are being tracked. You're being hunted. There is an enemy out there that is seeking, that's going after you. So where's your time? Where's your energy? What are you doing in life? How are you playing around with the things that you shouldn't be playing around with because the devil's in that trying to get a hold of you? So we got to guard who's getting a hold of us. What's getting a hold of us? What is going after us that want to render us and disqualify us and take us out of the picture? Can God get a hold of you or has somebody else got a hold of you? My question to you today is, do you want God to get a hold of you? If you want God to get a hold of you, you got to let some other things that got a hold of you let go. They got to get out of your heart, get out of your mind, get out of your thought life, get out of your situations, your time, the things you're pursuing, because God can't get a hold of you if you're so busy with other people getting a hold of you. The Lord got a hold of me, put his hand on me, and I yield. I surrendered all to something greater. Can I tell you, if God asks you to get rid of something, he will never let you settle for a lesser life. If he takes something for you, somewhere along the line, you're going to have something greater, a greater cause, a greater purpose, a greater life, a greater destiny. We look at things and we go, I don't know if I want to give that up, God. Well, you can hold on to that or you can have all this. No, it's in my hand, though. I've got it right now. But if you let go, you can have all this. And we look at the immediacy and what fulfills us right now, and we say, well, no, I think I'll just hold on to this. And God goes, I got so much more. But you got to let go. What's got a hold of you in your life? What is it that is holding on to you? Paul says in Philippians 3:12, he says, I press on that I might apprehend, grab that for which God apprehended me. God got you for a reason. The two greatest days in your life is not only the day when you are born again, but when you find out why you were born again. The Apostle Paul in Acts 9, he's riding his horse, his big horse there, and there he's killing people, murdering people, throwing people in jail, doing whatever he can to disrupt the house of God. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the road to Damascus. He's up on this high horse, and God knocks him off. And all of a sudden, he goes, Lord, is that you? And he says, is that you? And then, what do you want from me? And I believe too many of us only stick with the one question, who are you, Lord? And we forget to ask, what do you want me to do? God has something for every one of us to do. Not to watch, not to cheer, but to get involved in. He later says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. When I was growing up, it was out at Hardesty, Killam area, with my grandparents. Oftentimes, they had carnivals, you know, those carnivals out in the farms. Many of you know what I'm talking about. One of the things they would have is, you know, the kids would chase the lambs. They would try to wrestle the lambs down where the adults had the big cows, the big animals and things like that. They would try to wrestle these things down. Well, one of the areas was, you know, you wrestle a pig. You got to go find a pig. But they greased up the pig. So it was always slipping through your hands, right? It was like, I got it. No, I don't. There it is. I got it. No, it's not there. You know, and sometimes in our spiritual walk, we're like that greased pig. God reaches down to get us and God goes, I got you. There he goes. Gone again. Something else. Oh, he's into these things. And God wants to get a hold of us. Jonah was that slippery prophet. God says, Jonah, I want you. No, I'm not into it. Jonah, I want you to go pray. No, I'm really not feeling it. God got a hold of him through a storm, through the sea, and then finally through the belly of a large fish. God will get a hold of you. How many know it's better to yield to him than have him grab hold of us and it becomes a little awkward? All right? God wants to get a hold of us and grab hold of us so that he can use us. Not only does God got to get a hold of us, but you got to get carried away by the Spirit. He says, I was lifted, carried away, brought up by the Spirit. I believe we are in a season and time of church life that we are more than ever need to get a hold of the Holy Spirit in our churches. We need to be those that intercede in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. We begin to worship in the Spirit. We begin to seek the Spirit of God. We begin to pray out loud in the Spirit. We begin to prophesy in the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God is the power of the church. It is not the good looks of Pastor Leonard, not the brains of Pastor Lori, and good looks. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what we need to get carried away with. We're not just carriers of the Spirit. We need to be carried away by it. We can be carried away by fun, recreation, business, money, relationships, texting, games, whatever. We get carried away. You know, I was late for church because I was carried away. I wanted to be at church, but I was carried away with. I wanted to be at the prayer group, but I got carried away with. I was meaning to be part of small groups, but I just got carried away with. See where I'm going? We get carried away with a lot of things, but are we getting carried away with what the voice of the Spirit is calling us to? That we're mindful of the Holy Spirit. We're drawn by the Holy Spirit. We're yielding our lives to the Holy Spirit. And too often we know that when we get involved with the Holy Spirit, he's going to ask us to pay a price. It's going to cost us. It's going to be uncomfortable. And oftentimes we like comfort, that we don't want to do what the Spirit of God is calling us. But until the Spirit of God carries us away in the kingdom things, we will never carry a voice to the world that's broken, because our voice becomes our voice. God wants our voice to be his voice, and that only happens when we are carried away by the Spirit of God. We become a church that prays, that fasts, that seeks God, says, God, give me your Holy Spirit. I want to be filled again. Be fresh in the Holy Spirit. We can have a testimony of how we got filled with the Holy Spirit back in 1982. It was incredible. Man, there was glory all over the place. Man, it was like anointing all over the walls. It was dripping. It was incredible. Man, we had rags. We were collecting the anointing. It was just soaking it in. What have you done since? And it's like we make a monument out of what did happen instead of lived in the moment of what God is doing. And we need to be a church, a body, individuals, husbands and wives, that we get up and we are seeking the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit get carried away with the Spirit of God. David was carried away in the Spirit with worship. I love what we did today with kids, Pastor Leonard. I love that. Encourage us. We need to be like a child. David was worshiping before the Lord, and Michael, his wife, man, she was all indignant and just, what are you doing, making a fool of yourself? And he says, I will be more undignified than this because I was worshiping before the Lord. He was carried away with worship, spiritual worship, not external dramatic worship, but deep in his heart coming out through him, worship. He says, man, I've got to get this worship in my heart and my life. You and I are like Lazarus. God got us out. God has called us out of the grave. But then he says, I need to take off the grave clothes. You need hands that can be lifted and clapping. You need feet that can be dancing. You need a heart that is open up, a mouth that expresses. And you also need, I love this, you need to get that headgear off your life so that you can show people that you're saved with some smiling, some happiness. You heard it said, man, if you're saved, tell the rest of your body. God did something in you, let us know. We come out of the grave and we're still dead. God says, no, you're alive for a reason. The Lord got a hold of me and I was carried away by the Spirit. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon and the armies are all around him, his great man of God who complains and whines and says, I'm no good, I'm not this, I'm not that. And God says, no, you're a mighty man of valor. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it says. That word came upon is the word literally the word possessed. It doesn't mean we're a bunch of zombies. It means we're controlled and motivated by one thing, the voice of God. And I believe God's calling you and I, this church, to be that kind of people that we say, God, let your Spirit come upon us. Let the mind of the Lord, the voice of God. Revelation chapter 1, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. How many know that's a good way to come to church? You're already in the Spirit. You've already been praying, seeking God, coming to the Lord. You're already coming in through the doors. You're ready. Nobody's having to get you jump-started. Nobody's having to put their defibrillator on you. You're already ready to go. You're alive. You come to the Lord already in the Spirit. You're already filled up, ready to go. He was carried away by the Spirit. One last example here is Philip in Acts 8. God says, I want you to go to this chariot. I want you to run up beside that chariot. I want you to talk to him about the Lord. And he goes, run? I'm not much of a runner. No, you run after that chariot. So you can just see Philip. He's just running after this chariot, out of breath. He says, hey, what's up? Not much. He's in the chariot. He's a man of great fame and fortune. He's just running. Philip goes, yeah, what are you reading? Not much, just reading this word. What's in it? Well, it's talking about God, and he's prophesying about this Savior, Messiah guy. Who's he talking about? He says, oh, let me in. And he jumps in, and all of a sudden he talks to him about the things of God and how to be saved. And he says about baptism. He says, well, what's the hinders me? He goes and stops the chariot, and the two of them get in the water. They get baptized. And then it says this, the Spirit carried him away 30 miles. Think, hey, Scotty, beam me up. Transported, boom, done. Spirit took him. I don't know if the Spirit would ever grab hold of you like that, but I'd like to believe that the Spirit of God is so alive in your life that he can change the course of your direction from being in a chariot over to 30 miles away because God's got a word to give to somebody else. I believe that's what kind of people God's calling us to be, is those kind of people that say, God, how? How do I get carried away? Third key is he was set down. He was placed strategically down in the valley. I believe we're looking for the mountaintop experiences. Peter and John, they go up into the mountaintop with Jesus, the Mount of Transfiguration, and there all of a sudden is we got Moses, we got Elijah, we got the glory, we got God, and Peter says, hey, this is good. Let's build some tents. I think we should stay in the mountaintop. We'll have the glory. This is for us. This is great. And Jesus says, uh-uh. God says, listen, this is my son. Listen to him. And Jesus says, get down to the valley. God's calling us strategically to get into the valley of people's lives. There are communities, there are families, there are individuals around you whose lives need to be healed, and God's asking you to bring a word. Get into the valley. Get where it's messy. Get where it's dirty. Get where it's hot. Get out of the security and comfort of life and get down into where God's calling you. He wants to place you down somewhere. When's the last time you prayed, God, where do you want me to be today? When's the last time you prayed, God, what words can I say in this conversation? We were with a couple pastors last night, and we know some of their circumstances and situation, and we just said, God, we need you to give us words, because I know I got words. I got some pretty good words, some sharp words, some encouraging words, but they weren't the God words that they needed. We need to pray, God, what's my words? Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to say? He placed him down, and the fourth one is simply this. The Spirit of the Lord set him down in the valley amongst the bones. And I believe I know for our church, and I believe for your church, God's calling us to get out of these walls. The church is not this building. The church is not the ministries in the house. This is where we merely come together as a team huddle, and then we go out and the game's out there. The game is out in our neighborhood, the next door neighbors. It's in our school. It's in our workplace. It's out there where we take what God is sharpening in us on Sundays, filling us up with the Holy Spirit, and then we go out for 6 days. Then we come back and get filled up. Then we go back out again. Then we high-five somebody, and they go over to one area, and we go to a different area. We all reach different areas. Pastor Leonard and Lori, they are not called to do the ministry. They're called to equip you to do the work of the ministry. You are the hands and feet of Jesus going out. You've got to get out in the valley. So when's the last time you actually sat down with an unbeliever and shared Jesus Christ? When's the last time you opened up your circle of Christianity to someone else that is not a believer? When did you invite somebody last to your small group, to Alpha? Where are you positioning yourself in the valley that you can connect people? And I just really sense in my heart that I believe you know all this. This is nothing new. I'm just a chief reminding officer. That's all I am, a CRO. I'm just reminding you what you've already been told. Because I know Pastor Leonard. He's already told you these things. But it's in a season where I believe God wants to shake you up, where God can use you and get a hold of you to do what God needs in this hour. There are too many people in the valley. And I just want to shift a little gear right now. And you might be the one that's in the valley. You might be the one that's dry. Disconnected. And you happen to be here today. I believe God has positioned you here today to get you connected back into the body of Christ. Isolation. Christianity was never meant to be done in isolation. Christianity was never meant to be just me and Jesus. It was never me and Jesus. It's the body, it's the family, it's the army, it's the community, it's the house. These are all corporate words that God calls us in. I believe sometimes we become lost in the valley, number one, because we lose our vision. We lose our vision for our lives. Blindness, as it were, spiritual cataracts, as it were, dimness of life. We don't see as we used to see, and we become lost in our way. Jesus is the healer of our sight. When you come in, God wants to put eye salve on you in the worship, in the word, in prayer. God wants to restore our eyesight. The number one miracle that happens in the New Testament through Jesus is vision. Healing of vision. God wants to give us vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The second, some people come end up in the valley because they don't know where they're going. They become lost. The Bible tells us we're all like sheep, that we go astray. Independence, rebellion. Or sometimes we just get caught up in the wrong stuff. And I want to tell you this morning that there is a shepherd that wants to bring you back. There's a family that wants to receive the prodigals back in. There's a father that wants to reach around you and pull you back into the house of God where you can find healing and strength. Sometimes it's lost. Sometimes we just don't have vision. But I believe thirdly, sometimes it's because of fatigue and weariness. Maybe you've been battling for a long time, sickness, disease, stress, depression, rejection, abandonment, fatherlessness. The list could go on. You've been battling. There has just been a weariness in your heart and your life. And I believe the word of the Lord for you today is come back into the house, the army of God, and let the captain of the army of the Lord's host minister life into you. Come back in and find that there is a place where there's renewal, where there's restoration, where God can speak and put you back into your right place. God can take the weariness out of you. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take that burden off you and let me come into your life. Lastly, not just fatigue and weariness, but also on that is that battle worn. We war not against flesh and blood. But I'll be honest with you, I know the devil works through flesh and blood. And behind the people sometimes in our lives, there are forces that are working through them. Negativity, criticism, words that are spoken over you that have brought a shriveling up in your heart. The enemy forces have come of accusations in the night season. We have an accuser that comes every day, every night, trying to wedge itself into your heart, into your marriage, into your home. And there are times we want to give up, we want to quit, we want to say, that's enough, I'm done. There's never done in the kingdom of God, because God never quits. God will pursue, he will chase, he'll go after you. God wants to restore you back into right relationship. There's a story told of two men in an art gallery. And as they passed through the art gallery, they came across one big, large picture. And it was merely the devil playing chess with a man. And the man's playing chess, and one of the first men that looks at his chess player, he looks at it and goes, that's interesting. The other guy goes, yeah, it's okay, and he moves on. He says, I'm going to go look at Picasso, one of these other Leonardo guys. And all of a sudden, the chess player looks at this thing, and he goes, well, no, this is interesting. Hold on, I got to look at this. And he starts looking at this and studies it, and he looks at all the men on the board, and if you're a chess player, it's sort of like checkers on steroids. And they're looking at it, and he goes, hold it. It says checkmate. This isn't checkmate. The devil has got grinning, and he's looking at the man, and he's calling out checkmate. And the guy says, that's not checkmate. And he calls his friend back over, and he says, look, study this. Look at this. Look at the positioning. He says, he's called out checkmate, but the man's king has one more move. Can I tell you the devil's a liar? The devil is a liar if he's calling checkmate into your life. As a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father. He's saying, no, checkmate. Those kids are never coming back. Checkmate. You will never become who people thought you should become. You will never be the dreams and purposes God put in you. You've done too much, too far, too long. You don't have it in you. Checkmate. The devil's a liar because the king always has one more move. Jesus Christ always has one more move. And if we will surrender to him and we will ask him, God will bring the victory into your life. He will come. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. Lord, you know. I believe the Lord is calling people to become Ezekiel generation in this church. I believe this is a season and hour where people are stepping up. God's calling people up the ranks. If you've been a foot soldier and you're having struggle, how are you going to go with the horsemen, it says? God's calling us up in rank. God's calling us up from being spectators to be contributors, from consumers to being those that are actively involved. Where all of a sudden God says, no more, don't just sit, stand, and if you're standing, start running. Start moving forward. I believe the house is in a critical time, our houses, your houses, and it's just God's wanting to raise us up. God's wanting to put more on us. God's wanting to put a fresh anointing on us, a fresh mantle, a fresh evangelism, a fresh calling that says we can make a difference in our community. We can make a difference in the people's lives around us, in the neighborhood. There's dry bones everywhere. So, before we get to the ministry, let me just take a window of ministry to you. I believe the voice of God speaks to crowds, but he speaks to the one. We often come to church, we go, ooh, that was a great word for the house. Yeah, was it a great word for you? God's speaking to you. Either he's speaking to you to come up and be in Ezekiel, or he's speaking to you that he wants to heal you in the valley. You're one or the other. Either you need healing to come out of that valley as a whole person, or you need to be the Ezekiel that carries a voice. So here's what I want to do. We're going to just split this as ministry team comes. We're going to have two altar calls, and it's going to be for everybody. So just to let you know, nobody's going to be sitting down. How many here stand up if you need to be healed because you're in the valley right now? Remember, you're only going to be one or the other. Why don't you stand up? Stand up. We're going to pray for you. If you're in the valley right now, and if you guys aren't in the valley right now, that means you're in Ezekiel. That means you're ready to pray for them. All right, stand up if you're in the valley right now. Lost, you've wandered off, you've got no vision, maybe you're burdened, you're heavy, or you're just battle-worn. All right, Lord Jesus, let's stretch our hands towards these people right now. They need Ezekiel's to speak a word over their lives. Lord Jesus, you see. It's amazing that God never asked Ezekiel to criticize, to judge, or try to explain why they're in the valley. And God, we don't criticize them. We hold them up right now. And we say, God, heal them. Bring them and assemble them back into the body of Christ. God, bring them life. Bring them vision. Bring them a new strength. God, those that are burdened down, I pray you lift them up. Those that are worn from the battle, give them a fresh sense of God, of calling and the armor of God on their lives and the word of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, we pray for those, oh God, who have been struggling, oh God, with difficulties in their life, where they've been told they're no good, never amount to much, that they won't become anything. We speak God's word over them right now. They're precious. They're chosen. They're adopted. They're forgiven. They are kings and priests in the earth, oh God. God, I thank you right now that you call them to be your sons and daughters. So, Lord God, I pray over each one that's in the valley to come up, be connected, and come into fullness of life, a mighty army. We prophesy to the winds right now over these people. We prophesy to the winds life. Let there be life and breath come into them, Lord. Let them stand as a mighty army with purpose, with a destiny, oh God. God, this is an hour of time today that they now are no longer in the valley. Lord, we bless them in Jesus' name. All right, now everybody else, stand up. I'm not giving you a choice. Stand up. Because then if you're not in the valley, you're being called to be in Ezekiel. You're being called to take a word, prophetically, a word into your home, family, community, somewhere. That you become one that God can get a hold of you. Lord Jesus, why don't we just raise our hands to the Lord right now? It's a surrender. It's an act of surrender. Lord Jesus, our hands are up because we say, get a hold of us. Grab us, Lord. God, no more are we going to be those like a slippery prophet. We're not going to be those that are like greased pigs. We're going to come to you and say, God, get a hold of us, and we're not going to squeal out. God, we say, get a hold of us and use us. God, put a prophetic ministry, a voice in us. God, let us become a church. Oh, God, that people know and hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other truth, oh, God, no way to be set free but by Jesus. And we will be a people, God, that carry a message into the valley. God, we are men and women that rise up in rank. We say, God, pull us up higher. God, pull us up and put on us whatever you need to put on us. God, we are yours. We want to be prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, teachers. We want to be servants, oh God. God, use us, Lord. We say yes. God, there's a couple coming up that they've said yes, but we say yes. We say yes, Lord, use us. Yes, Lord, anoint us. Yes, Lord, use us wherever you want us, oh God. God, thank you, Lord, that the Lord came upon us. Right now, grip us with vision, grip us with purpose, and grip us with a passion for the house of God, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord.